Good evening. I too would like to welcome each one that has come out tonight. Once again, I appreciate our visitors that are here tonight. And some have really supported us. They've been here several nights. And we appreciate that so much. We really do. And as always, I definitely have a desire for your prayers tonight, that the Lord could help me just for a little while. You know, in the beginning of this meeting, the beginning of this revival, I made a remark and made it a few nights after that. Brother Miller's even made remarks that, you know, that I'm going to pound it in your head. And I still mean what I say. Go pound hell in your head till I hope it gets to the place it gets in your heart and you really understand the danger that you're in. I said I was going to do it, and I'm still going to do it. But as I was studying and somebody else did the same thing that I'm doing the same thing that Brother Miller's doing. Some of you may have felt like you get to the point where you're getting tired of hearing it. Well, I want to read just several different scriptures. And these all just come out of Matthew, each one of them did. And it's talking about a certain place. And I have a feeling when I get to reading these verses, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And this man didn't do anything any different than what we've done this week. And this man that I'm talking about is this man Jesus, God's only begotten Son, the one that loved us so, that came into this old wicked world to give his life's blood. So before I actually really get into my lesson tonight, I just, sinner, listen. Listen to these verses I read. This ain't just something that us preachers has been trying to prove to you and trying to tell you. Jesus tried to prove to the people, and he didn't quit either. He kept on pounding it in their heads, hoping that it would actually get to their hearts. So listen just a little bit here. If I can read it, I printed it off, and it's small print to save time from flipping through the scriptures. Matthew, 8th chapter, verse 12. And every one of these is Jesus speaking, okay? Every verse. Matthew 8:12. It said, "But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 13:42. "And shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 13:50. It said, "And shall cast them into the furnace of fire, and there shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 24:51. "And shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Matthew 25:30. Says, "And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, then shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Sounds like to me when Jesus was preaching to the people, he was trying to prove a point. That there is a hell, and those that are unsaved, that's where you're going. And what did he say? Sometimes he said wailing. which they're still screaming and hollering and suffering in great pain. Then they said there were some of those that would be, sometimes he said, weeping. That they're in such torment that they're weeping. Great suffering, great pain, great torments. And then he talks about, just about every one of them said, the gnashing of teeth, which is the grinding of the teeth because they're in such great pain and suffering. This place he was talking about, people, was hell. It's where the unbelievers, those that don't have the faith that they need, they were cast into this place. So something that we've been trying to preach to you this week, something that we told you about this week, time and time again, Jesus himself, he did the same thing, hoping that he could reach the lost and dying world. My lesson tonight is real familiar reading. Many of y'all have heard it many times. Even you young children, you've heard about it many times, but maybe it just ain't never really sank in with you. Daniel. We're going to go to the book of Daniel, third chapter. And there was this king of Babylon that came in and he besieged Jerusalem. He captured Jerusalem, and there were those that the Jews that he captured and he took back with him to Babylon. And Daniel was one of them. He said, this is coming, we're reading out of the book of Daniel. Daniel was one of those young men that was captured. And this king, after they got back, that he built this big old graven image made of gold. And it was huge. Says it was 60 cubits. And that's about 90 foot tall. That's pretty tall. And I believe it was 6 cubits wide. This graven image that he built, that he made. A man made it with his hands, okay? Well, he's a king. I doubt if he made it, but he made other people make it for him. But no matter who made it, it was still made by a man, and it was ordered by the king of Babylon is who it was ordered by. And I'm sure he had slaves and some of these Jews or whoever it was to build this for him and to make it for him. And he went on to tell them that, you know, when you hear the sound of the flute and the clarinet and the psaltery and different sounds of music, the dulcimer, that you must bow to this graven image. We talked about gods that could not hear and gods that could not do things for people. Well, this statue or whatever it was made by a man. I guarantee you, it couldn't do anything. Couldn't do anything for the king or anybody else. But this law was passed that anybody that heard the sound of the instruments and heard the music, that they must bow down and worship this false idol, this graven image. And if you wasn't, you was going to have to pay for it. That you would have been cast in that same day is what it says. And in some of the scriptures that I'll read, it will repeat what I'm telling you, was that same day, if you didn't bow down to this graven image, this false idol, this false god, that you would be thrown in to a fiery furnace. You're going to be burned up. Okay? That was the laws, and that was the punishment, that if they disobeyed the king and disobeyed the law. And I believe there was some man jealous. The Chaldeans were jealous probably of some of these men that was put over some of the king's property and the different things. They were jealous of these Hebrew men. And they went to the king and reported to him. Verse 12, third chapter of Daniel. He says, there are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. And Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if ye be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made. Well, but if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Listen to this. Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Did you hear what he asked them? Who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, said, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. Said, if it be so, our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. And I want to stop there for just a second. They told him, said, O king, he will deliver us out of thy hand, O king. But if not, that's okay too. In other words, they had that faith and they trusted him that they could be thrown in that fiery furnace and they would be delivered. And if not, if they were thrown in that fiery furnace, it was still all right with them if they never come back, because they knew that they were going to a better place. And I've heard people and I've made remarks, and we all, some of us have heard it, and some of us even made remarks, that when we're sick or you see some people on their deathbed, that they say, well, we're talking about these been saved now, not the ones that's unsaved and will die and go to hell, but for those that have been saved by the grace of God, those that are in the same condition, I believe, that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's in, that I have heard people make the remarks and say, well, if the Lord don't take me now, I'm a winner. But if I'm to go, I'm a winner either way. If the Lord is done with me here and he takes my life and I'm to leave this earth, I'm going to heaven, I'm a winner. But if he's to deliver me and heal my body and make me well, I'm still a winner. To me, that's what these men were saying, that they were going to be a winner either way, because they had the Lord God on their side. They knew who the Lord God was, and they wasn't afraid whatsoever. So there's going to be a winner either way. And then we go on verse 19. It says, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury. Oh, they were making him mad, wasn't he? He was upset with them. It said, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vengeance was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. See, he'd set them up over provinces, but them telling them they wouldn't go worship his false god, that they was going to worship the true living God, it upset them. It made them mad in his countenance and everything. It changed. His attitude toward them changed. Boy, he was ill with them. And he said, let's back up, and I read it again. It said, then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his vengeance was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded they should heat the fiery furnace one 7 times more than it was wanted to be heated. 7 times more than what it would normally be heated up. I mean, he was ill and he was going to be sure that they was going to be burned up. That there was no way because, that they was going to be able to escape because they said, you know, the God we serve will deliver us. And he was determined that that wasn't going to be no way possible, that I'm going to heat that furnace up 7 more times hotter than it normally would be. And there's no way that they could escape those flames. Be no way. It'd be way too hot. And he said he commanded the most mighty man that was in his army. The most mighty man, the strongest man. And he's going to be sure when he grabbed a hold of these men and was going to take them to that fiery furnace that they weren't going to escape from them. His most mighty man laid hands on Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be sure they wouldn't escape because the king was going to be sure that they was going to be thrown in that furnace. He's going to put them to death. Said, then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. It says, therefore, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew these men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These mighty men that he told them take hold of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that this fiery furnace was so hot that when they got close enough to throw them into the furnace, that it was so hot the heat burned them up that was standing outside. That's how hot it was. It took their lives. It killed them. It burned these men up that served the king. And they had thrown Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. And I was talking to a brother here a while ago about where I work. He didn't know I worked at Logan Aluminum because he knows some people that work down there. And there was a part of the department. I don't work in that department no more. But I worked at a place that had fiery furnaces. I worked in an area that melted big chunks of aluminum. And these furnaces were probably over 30 foot in diameter and maybe stood about 12 foot tall. They looked like a big old pot's what they looked like. Had this huge lid on top of them, and the lid would roll back this what we call a cover crane. This crane would raise these lids up off of these melters and roll it back, and they'd have these huge, huge buckets. I'm talking about big buckets that stand over 8 foot tall and probably 15 foot diameter that's full of big chunks of aluminum, and they go over, the jaws on the bottom of these buckets open up and drop it into these melters, and then that lid is put back on it, just like a big old boiling pot. And they fire these furnaces up and start melting this aluminum. And let me tell you something, people, it gets hot. When they got a door on the front of it that it raises up, that they get in there with this big old boom with a big old fork truck and stir it just like you would stir a pot and get in there and rake the dross off of it, the dirt off top of the molten metal. And sometimes you have to put alloys and hardeners in there, different type of metals like copper and zinc and iron and different ones to get the right chemistry, the right recipe for the product that we're making. And a lot of this stuff is sitting on a wood skid, a wood pallet. I know a lot of you kids maybe don't understand what I'm talking about, but you adults, I think, do. It's piled on a wood skid, a pallet, and they set it up in front of this on this ledge when this door opens up. And as soon as they set it up there, the heat is so fervent and so hot that the fire or nothing has touched the wood on this pallet, but that wood will actually just ignite because there's so much heat coming out of it. And so, you know, I can really visualize and I can really see what happened to these men and how it happened. Because I have worked around a fiery furnace. I used to have to put special gear on to get up there and take samples of it. And my headgear and my helmets and stuff had literally melted on my head, you know, that it was so hot. This furnace that they were thrown in, I can see what happened to these men that it was so hot that throwed Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego in it. It was so hot that it killed the man that were standing outside of the furnace. Let's go a little bit further. Verse 23 said, "And these three men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound into the midst of the burning fiery furnace." Then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they answered and said unto the king, "True, O king." And he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God." You hear it, people? Three men was cast into the furnace. But that king saw a fourth man in the furnace. And then he goes on to say that, "I don't see no hurt on these men that were thrown into that furnace. There's nothing wrong with them. But there's a fourth man in there with them." Our Lord Jesus Christ, that's who was in there with them. That's who was in there. The Son of God. Nebuchadnezzar said that. He said, "Looked like the Son of God." It was the Son of God. It didn't just look like him. It was him. So then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither." Then Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego came forth of the midst of the fire. They walked out, people. They walked out. So then the princes and the governors and the captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw these men. Says, upon whose bodies the fire had no power, nor was there a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, nor the smell of fire had passed on them. It don't take much to singe somebody's hair. Just a little bit of flame and your hair can go up like that. But not even a hair on their head was even singed. Not one hair. Not even the smell of fire, the smell of smoke was even upon their clothes and upon their body. It's like they was never in there. It's like they were never in there. So then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, "Blessed be the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him, and have changed the king's word and yielded their bodies that they might not serve nor worship any god except their own God." He says, "Therefore I make a decree that every people, nation, language which speak anything amiss against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego shall be cut in pieces, and their houses shall be made of dunghill, because," listen to this, people, sinner, you that are lost, listen to what the king said here. He said, "Because there is no other God that can deliver after this sort." This was not a fable. This was not some story that was made up. This is something that really happened. It really happened. It was not made up. It's not a fable. A fable is something that maybe some writer or some man created and made a story and put it out there for people to read. Well, this is that put out for us to read, but it's the true word of God. It was inspired by God. Man wrote it down, but it's God's word and it's God's truth. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they were cast into a burning fire, into a furnace. But God delivered them. They were brought out of that fiery furnace, and as the scripture said, that there was not a burn on them. They didn't burn. There was no smell of smoke. Their hair wasn't singed. Their clothes wasn't singed. It was just like they was never even thrown in there. But they even come out walking. They were cast in, bound up. That's what the scriptures told us, that they were bound up, thrown in. But then the king asked them to come out, and they walked out, okay? I want you to think about something here, though, lost sinner. They were cast into a fiery furnace, and they were delivered out of it. They were set free out of it. But I got news for you. You heard them five different verses I read about the weeping and gnashing of teeth? If you die lost and separated from God, you're going to be cast into hell. Okay? But you're not going to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When you're cast into that eternal flame, that deep pit, everlasting flame, a fire, you will not be delivered out of it. When you die and you take your last breath and your spirit, your soul leaves your body, if you're not saved by the grace of God, you're going to drop down into this eternal damnation, this eternal fire, this furnace that we call hell. And when you get there, you're not going to be delivered out of it. We've made mention that the state, when you take your last breath, when you take that last breath and your body lays down and it don't have no more life in it, your soul is going to fall in the deep pits of hell. And it will be unchanging. Now, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the rest of us that's been saved by the grace of God, the rest of us that have trusted in Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, we that looked at that cross at Calvary, He can deliver you, okay? This God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of that fiery furnace, He can deliver you before you get to that place of hell. But you've got to turn it over to Him. You know, when God first created man, when He created and He formed that body did not have no life in it. When God created that man, when He created Adam, Adam didn't even have a breath in him at all. All it was a dead body formed by God out of the dust of the earth. But there was no life in it. And the scriptures go on why God was creating them, that He breathed the breath of life into them. Breathed the breath, breathed it through His nostrils, and that man became a living soul. That man was made alive. He come alive. And He walked up on the earth. He was appointed into the garden to take care of the garden, to see over the animals. He was walking just like I'm walking today. But before that, there was no life in him. But when God breathed the man's nostrils, he became a living soul. And that means there is a soul that's inside of this body that you see. Okay, but there's going to be a day coming I don't know when that day is. You don't know when this day is for yourself. You know, we preach about Christ coming back. And it's hard to relate to that Jesus is coming back. Sometimes it's hard for us to understand, especially you that are lost, that it's hard for you to understand that the Son of God is going to come back and get his people. But it may be a whole lot simpler for you to relate to death, because every one of us knows somebody in our families, our friends, or somebody that has died. Okay? So there ain't no doubt that we see death and we know about death. And when that individual dies, we go to the funeral homes, and we've had two church members that had family members that have passed away this week. If you go to the funeral home and you walk up to that casket, you're going to look at a body that don't have no life in it. That body is going to go back to the dust from which it was made. But that soul, when they took her last breath, that soul was separated from their bodies. That soul went somewhere else. And there's not but two places that soul's going to go to. If you're saved by the grace of God, you're going to heaven. If you're not saved by the grace of God, you're going to hell. That is the only two options that you've got. Now I want to ask you, which option do you prefer? Which one do you prefer? If you want to die and go to a place of torments, I guess that's all right. That's what's going to happen to you if that's what you want. But I don't think there's a one under the sound of my voice tonight that wants to die and go to hell. I don't believe that. I believe everybody under the sound of my voice tonight, one day after a while, whether you die and that last breath is taken and your body lays motionless, that soul separates from your body, I believe that you want to go live with the Father. I believe you want to go live with Jesus, the one that died for you, that shed his life's blood, that you would have a way back and have fellowship with God. I believe you want to go to heaven. I do not believe that there's a one of us sitting under the sound of my voice wants to die and go to that place of torment that we've been preaching about all week long. I believe you want to go to that place that we've preached about that is perfect. We can't even imagine. John, when he wrote Revelation, being inspired by God, and he saw that great city, he tried to explain that as much as he could and explain how beautiful it was. And he tried to use all the different kind of stones and the colors of stones that people was familiar with, that they had actually seen with their own eyes. The pearls, the sapphires, and gold and all the other different type of minerals and rocks and stuff. These people had seen things with their own eyes, and they know what these colors were, know what they look like when they become polished. They're beautiful. If you look at them today, a lot of these stones that these women were and the jewelry that they were, they're beautiful. But you know what? We ain't seen nothing yet. We ain't seen nothing yet. We that's been saved by the grace of God, we're going to a beautiful place. We see God's creation, and this has been a beautiful summer. We look out and we see the trees being full, and we see the flowers blooming and the wheat fields. It's beautiful outside. It's literally beautiful. And how can anybody think that just happened to be? That don't make sense to me at all. How somebody thinks it just happened. It happened all right because I know the man that done it. I know the man that created the heavens and the earth and everything therein. And he's the God that I serve. He's the God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of the fiery furnace. And he's the same God that can deliver you out of hell. Keep you from going there. If you would just believe and trust in him with all your heart, your living heart, your inner body, your inner soul. We serve a God that's able to do this, people. He's able. He's willing. And he wants to. Believe me. He wants to. It ain't his will. Not one would die and fall in the deep pits of hell. He wants you to come to heaven where he's at. Jesus said he is going away to prepare a mansion. A lot of people think, well, they're going to have the fanciest house and the prettiest place they ever have. It's going to be pretty. Anything up there is going to be better than what we got here. But if you really understand, you do the little bit of word study, and I believe when it talks about mansion in those scriptures there, it talks about that we're going to have a dwelling place. Okay? A dwelling place. We're going to have a place to live is what that means. You know what? I'm not going to worry about if I got chandeliers or golden handrails going up the stairs of my home or whatever it might be. I'm going to be able to look at my Jesus, and I think that's all I'm going to care about. I'm not going to care about what my home looks like, but he has gone to prepare a dwelling place for me that I'm going to have a place to live in heaven. Brother Hardwood, I am going to live in heaven. Even if I lived in an old manger like Jesus was born in, if I was born in an old feed trough that a calf fed in or a cow fed in, that's all right with me, because I'm going to be with my Jesus. I don't need no fancy home. I'm going to be with the one that died for me and shed his life's blood. That's the most important thing to me. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for providing a way for a sinner like me, that one day that I was able to trust in you and believe in you. Just, Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you gave your life's blood for me. Sinner, you can be delivered. You can escape the deep pits of hell if you would just turn it over to the Lord and trust in him with all your heart. Trust. Sometimes that's hard to do, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard for us to trust individuals. We just don't trust them. Sometimes we feel like they're cons or they're lying to us. Well, I'm telling you something. Trust in one that's not a liar. Trust in one that cannot lie, and everything that he says is truth. Jesus said that there is a hell. That's true. Jesus said that there is a heaven. That's true. But the devil will tell you that don't you worry about it, because none of that, it's all lies. Don't you worry about it. You don't need to be saved. When you take your last breath, when you're buried in that grave, you hadn't got nothing else to worry about. Well, I got news for you. If you're lost and separated from God, you have a whole lot to worry about. You have got a whole lot to worry about. Brother Miller mentioned the other night, last night, about fear. You better have fear, because hell is not a place that you want to go to. You don't want to go there, people. Sinner, you don't want to go there. God provided a way for you. And that's trusting and believing in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, with your heart and glory. You got to trust in him. No man can tell you been saved, but the Spirit of God can tell you. There are scriptures, and I may misquote it, but I'll paraphrase here. But I love these scriptures on the third chapter of John, where Nicodemus came to Jesus, and Jesus told him that you must be born again. He didn't understand it, but Jesus explained to him that you can't enter into your mother's womb a second time, but you need to be born of the Spirit. And we talk about being born again. We talk about when you're saved by the grace of God. But I believe it's in the 8th verse, and me and Gail talk about this, and I'll misquote it, I'm sure. But it talks about the wind. It talks about the wind. Because Nicodemus didn't understand what Jesus was telling him about being born again. And Jesus went on to tell him, he says, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but don't know where it cometh or where it goeth. Likewise, everybody that is born of the Spirit. Everyone that is born of God, you feel something. And what he was talking about, the wind, is that we cannot see the wind. I was explaining it to, I think, maybe Chloe the other night, that we cannot see the wind, but we can walk outside and we can watch it, the flag, Old Glory, waving in the wind. We can see the trees are moving. We can see the grass are moving, the wheat fields are moving, but we can't see where it comes from, and we don't know where it goes, but we see the effects of it. We can go out and we feel it on our face, especially in the wintertime. You walk outside when it's cold, and boy, that wind's blowing, it feels like it's cutting straight through you. You can feel it on your face, it just about freezes to death. We can't see it. We don't know where it comes from or where it goes, but we sure do feel it. And likewise, that everybody is born of the Spirit. Everybody's been saved by the grace of God. You feel something and you know it. You know it. And you feel it. When God has saved your soul, and no man, nobody can tell you any different. And I tell you something else. When you get saved by the grace of God, nobody can take it away from you. It's there. The Lord gives it to you because you trusted and believed in Him. So I'm telling you, Jesus tried to let Nicodemus know, and I believe Nicodemus got saved. I believe before it was all over with, Nicodemus got saved. He was one of them that came after Jesus was crucified, came and got his body to prepare it for burial. A non-believer wasn't going to do that. But I believe with all my heart, eventually Nicodemus believed everything that Jesus was telling him, Brother Strode. I believe that he got saved by the grace of God, just like every one of us that trusted and believed in Jesus. We've done the same thing. That day that I got saved by the grace of God, I didn't feel no wind on my face, but I sure felt something in my heart. I felt it. I felt it. And that's what's taking me to heaven one day. You see, that God that delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego out of that fiery furnace, He delivered me. And He can deliver you if you just trust Him. That fourth man that was in that fiery furnace with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that man, I believe with all my heart, is the one who went to that cross at Calvary and gave his life's blood. You're going to have to believe in him. You're going to have to trust in him with all your heart. Sinner, I told you the other night, the clock is ticking. Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. Did you know that every minute, every hour that you live? Now, you look at some of us, we're a lot older, okay? Some of you young, right at the age of accountability. Some of you are accountable to God, some of you ain't. Some of you know you are, and you've been seeking the Lord. But you know what? The clock is ticking, and every breath that you take, listen to me, every breath that you take, you're a little bit closer to death. Do you know that? You might be young, but I'm telling you, every breath that you take, you're a little bit closer to the grave. Every breath every one of us take, we're a little bit closer to the grave. But some of us are okay. Some of us not worried about it because we're going to heaven to be with our Jesus. But some of you, you're not in that same shape. And you need to be worried about it. You need to be concerned about it. You need to do something about it. Nobody else can do it for you. It's all between you and the Lord. Trust in Him with all your heart, and you will be saved. The Lord's done with me. Lord, help you. It's my prayer that you trust in the Lord. Let's have a song, Brother Ronnie.